Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Each week when we come together here to celebrate and worship our Lord, we pray for our bishops, our priests, and deacons. We pray for those who are homebound. We pray for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. We pray for those who have died and for those who mourn. We pray for those in need of God's healing, God's life-giving touch. We pray for those impacted by war, disasters, and poverty. And most of the times, the prayers that we pray are open-ended prayers, leaving it up to God to provide the right answers. And we are always encouraged to pray. But what are we to pray for, and to what end? Are the prayers that we offer doing anything to ease the suffering and prevent future tragedies? Are the prayers that we offer changing anything at all? Is God hearing our prayers? Sometimes nothing seems to change. The sickness, the suffering, the violence, the killing seem to be getting worse. Are we doing it all wrong? Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Some would see prayer as a way of twisting God's arm or somehow convincing God that he has it all wrong, that we see a better way. Not unlike today's Old Testament lesson about Abraham's bargaining with God to spare the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Who among us gathered here today has not been in a position of need? Times when the trials of life seem more than we can bear, when we feel that God has been silent and unreachable, believing that there is some magic formula for prayer that we have yet to discover. Well, Jesus offers his disciples a tutorial on prayer, and if we look at his teaching in this gospel, we see that the Lord's prayer is really very simple. First of all, as believers, we are to live our lives with God at the center and to live into his teachings that his kingdom is manifest here and now. Jesus' prayer addresses our basic needs for provisions, as in daily bread, for right relationships with God and others, that is, our own forgiveness and the ability to forgive those who have harmed us, and for safety, for protection and guidance in times of trial. It's an honest prayer. God already knows the truth of the situations that we find ourselves in, so be honest with God, and most of all, be honest with yourself. Use your own words and speak from your own heart. Author Susan Scott, in her book, Still Praying After All These Years, Meditations for Later Life, writes about our relationships with other people, but her reflection also speaks to the depth of our relationship with God. She writes, it's easy to stay on a superficial level with someone new when we only have a passing contact with him or her. Yet it's also possible to have regular contact with someone for years, but not truly meet each other. It may take a change of heart on our part before we can look into each other's eyes and truly engage in a meaningful way. When we risk letting ourselves be known to each other on a deeper level, it changes us and a new relationship begins. It's as if we see the face of God in each other. Prayer is communication or conversation with God. You know, go to the prayer book if necessary. If words fail you, page 814 and all those following, there are prayers and thanksgivings for all sorts of conditions. If that doesn't work and it doesn't speak to your heart, pray the Psalms. Start at Psalm 1 and work your way on through, because they cover a lot of the circumstances of life, both good and bad, and all of our human emotions contained therein. One of the most effective prayers that's ever been expressed is the expression, help me, just help me, and then trust. Trust that God has heard you. And that's the hard part, because we know that we have prayed for ourselves and for others, and our prayers have gone unanswered. We know that Jesus prayed to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane that the cup that he was given to drink, that is, the suffering and the death that awaited him, that it be removed from him. And we know that it wasn't. We fear that God isn't listening, that our petitions won't be answered. We're afraid that we and our loved ones will continue to suffer. Or perhaps we are afraid that God will answer. And then what? Will we like the answer that we get? Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock on God's door. He does not warn us that what we receive, find, and discover when the door is open might not be what we have been expecting. But because God loves us, we can trust it with immeasurable goodness. So trust God. Trust that God is listening. Trust that God loves you. Trust that God really cares. But like anything else that is life-giving and worth doing, prayer takes practice. It takes consistency. Do it every day. Do it in the car, at the gym, while doing your laundry or the dishes. Turn off your telephone. Turn off your telephone and your television and the radio as well, and just talk to God honestly. Talk out loud if you're alone. Talk out loud if you're with other people, if they think you're crazy, so what? Or just talk in your head. Practice, practice, practice. Are you at a loss for words? Again, go back to the Book of Common Prayer. The daily offices are found in the front. There's wonderful prayers in there. And then we send out on Sunday evenings a weekly email. And at the bottom of it, if you scroll way to the bottom and you really read down at the bottom, Mike has put in there all sorts of ways in which you can do your daily prayers. There's different links to different places, missions and monasteries and whatever. One of my favorite that I had a man a couple of weeks ago that I absolutely love, it's British, so they have that wonderful accent. It's called Pray As You Go. It takes anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes, and there's beautiful music, and there's a meditation, there's a reading of scripture, and there's some provocative questions that sometimes ask you to go deeper in your prayer. But it's a lovely way to break up the boredom. You have to practice. But sometimes if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're like, you're not even hearing it anymore. So you need to change it up. Perfection in prayer is not necessary, but that persistence is. There are some people who are gifted in extemporaneous prayer, but not everyone has the ability to sound eloquent when praying. I've accepted the fact that I will seldom have that gift. My prayers are often halting at times when I try to find the right words. But I realize that it's not so much the words from my mouth that they're important, but rather that my heart carries the concerns of those that I pray for, and that my heart is directed toward God, the one who loves and cares for all of us. There is power in prayer. Believe me, there is power in prayer, and I'm not sure how it works. Don't we all want to understand how it works so that we might be able to control it? I don't think anyone knows how it works, but it does. It opens us up to the movement of God in our lives and in the lives of others. And it opens us up to the power of God in our lives. And sometimes our circumstances do change. In other times, it is our response to the circumstances that we find ourselves in that changes. Where we were anxious or afraid, perhaps we are now at peace. I was saying to the vestry last week, to be a prayerful person does not mean that you walk around with a halo on your head, singing hymns all the time. To be a prayerful person means that you are aware of God's provisions and presence no matter where you are, no matter who you are with, and no matter what it is that you are doing. Because God is with us. And don't laugh, he's making an appearance. I said don't laugh. Like Jesus is meant to remind us that Jesus is always with us. Always. Always. And as it says at the end of the gospel passage that we read today, the one gift that we can count on that was given to us is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, what state of mind or heart or emotion we are in at the time, we can count on the fact that the one gift, that priceless gift, that we have been given by God is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is a relationship that we need to take the time and make the effort to cultivate, because truly, it is life-giving.